public hearing is conditional use number 1926, Nanticoke Shores Associates LLC.
Gentlemen, this is an ordinance to amend condition number 8 of the conditions of approval in ordinance number 2204 for conditional use number 1862 for Nanticoke Shores Associates LLC. It relates to earthen berms around the perimeter of the property for a campground RV park to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in northeast of Long Neck Road, being Route 22, 1 mile east of Potnets Road, being Road 22C. For the benefit of the record, I believe the commissioners all have copies of an exhibit booklet provided by the applicants that was provided on March 12th of 2012. The booklet contains a copy of the ordinance number 2204 for conditional use number 1862, a copy of a June 22nd, 2011 letter from the department to the applicants, a copy of a November 28th, 2011 letter from the department to the applicant's engineer, a Google Earth photo showing the manufactured home park area and the site, a December 7th, 2011 letter from the Conservation District to the applicant's engineer, a December 20th, 2011 and January 5th, 2012 letters from the applicant's attorney to the county attorney, a copy of the application form, and a suggested and proposed new condition number 8 for consideration. We did not request comments from DLDOT or county engineering since this application is for an amendment to a condition of approval for a previously approved conditional use number 1862. And conditional use 1862 was approved by county council with 12 conditions. And the only thing we're really considering tonight is condition number 8, which relates to the earthen berms. And that's all I have. Unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. The chair recognizes Mr. Byard.
Thank you, Mr. Wheatley. Good evening, gentlemen. Gene Byard on behalf of the applicant, Nanticoke Shores Associates. With me tonight is David Palasek, the general manager of Rehoboth Shores and also Dolphin's mobile home park and campground. With the introduction from Lawrence, you gentlemen recall that this application was the subject of a public hearing before the commission on February 24, 2011. It involved replacing 260 vacant and undeveloped mobile home lots within Rehoboth Shores with 367 RV campsites within the community. As the commission will recall, the application was the subject of substantial opposition, and ultimately the commission voted to deny the application. Subsequently, after a hearing before county council with equally substantial opposition, council voted to approve the conditional use application, reducing the number of RV campsites from 367 to 260 and imposing 12 conditions on its approval. No appeal from that decision was taken, and that land use decision is now final, and it's not the topic of discussion tonight. The reason we're here, as Lawrence said, is to ask that even though the commission denied the application and created no conditions of approval as a result, the commission recommend the council that condition number 8 be amended, as we'll explain in a minute. As Mr. Robertson has advised you in the past, anything adopted by Sussex County by ordinance, including changes of zone and conditional uses, can only be amended by ordinance. And that's why we're here. We have to go through the same hearing process for a change of condition that we do for a conditional use or a change of zone. Getting to the heart of the matter, if you look at Exhibit 1 in the project booklet, Condition 8 reads in part, "The project shall be surrounded by a 50-foot vegetated buffer with a 6-foot earthen berm planted with indigenous trees." If the commission looks at Exhibit 4 in the booklet, you'll see a letter last December from Jessica Watson of the Soil Conservation District indicating that the district disfavors the idea of a 6-foot earthen berm surrounding the project because that's bad stormwater management practice. I'll ask David to identify himself and explain why that's bad practice and what the potential negative impact of surrounding the property with that berm might be. David, if you could.
Yes, my name is David Palosik. I'm the general manager for Nanticoke Shores Associates, LLC, and Tall Pines Associates, LLC. In our discussions with Ms. Watson, she suggested that putting a berm along the marsh area in phase one of this construction area would cause an impoundment in keeping the water from flowing back into the marsh area as it would naturally do from the higher ground to the lower areas. If we were to put a 50-foot berm and surround the whole area, including the marsh, that basically is like creating a pond for it to flood out. The water would have no direction to go.
Where could it possibly go if the berm were created along the marsh to surround the property?
Well, it would back flood the current community back into Rehoboth Shores.
It would go right down the main street into the community?
Yeah, that would be Bay Boulevard.
Am I correct that the natural contour is to take any stormwater from this property to the marsh?
Yes, that is correct.
Is the extent of the amendment to the condition to eliminate that portion of the berm that fronts on the marsh?
Yes, just that portion of the berm that would be along the marshlands.
Gentlemen, if you don't have questions of Mr. Palosik, I'm going to hand up a very poor photocopy of the Google aerial book. And the yellow highlighting of mine is not very good, but it's intended to show the area that will continue to be the subject of the berm. The idea is to show what will be left open so that water can move to the marsh and not go down the main boulevard.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
At tab 8 of the booklet is a revised proposed condition, and it's a little lengthy, and I'm not going to read it, but what it is intended to accomplish is what the applicant believes County Council intended to accomplish when it created the condition. The applicant believes that the purpose of the berm was to screen all mobile homes in Rehoboth Shores from view of the campground. And the revised condition, number 8, accomplishes that while at the same time assuring certainly better stormwater management and assuring that stormwater will not be impounded within the new campground RV park, with its only outlet being the main road through Rehoboth Shores. That's all we have, and we can answer any questions. We'd be happy to.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions. We'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Byard, looking at what you passed out, am I correct in that you're saying the berm would be where the yellow marking is?
That's correct.
And in describing the area that would not have the berm, what trees are you talking about remaining?
I can't hear the question.
What trees are you talking about remaining? You were talking about you were going to add some additional trees and keep the
winds. There is a fringe of trees around the perimeter of the marsh. Those would be preserved. I'm sorry that it's not a better photograph or copy.
Okay.
But there is a fringe of trees. In addition to those trees, the applicant would plant 3 additional rows of indigenous trees along that area where the berm would no longer be.
But it appears as though your earthen berm would completely separate the RV park from the mobile home park.
That's,
is that
that's
correct?
What we think council intended. The idea is to screen the two and
build a fort around you guys, right?
Well, you could call it a fort. Hopefully it'll be something where trees actually do grow. But if you look at the revised condition, it's written in some detail so as to assure there's some definition as to where the berm is and berm isn't. And it does conclude that the balance of the perimeter where the berm would not be will have a 50-foot vegetated buffer, will have three rows of indigenous trees planted in the buffer area in addition to the trees that already exist. And the remainder of condition number 8 will stay in place, and that is the perimeter of the property will be fenced with a security gate at the entrance, with security lighting, with a separate office, and with appropriate directional signage.
Now, Mr. Johnson, if you look at exhibit number 3 in the booklet, you can see a color aerial depicts the wood line a little bit better than what the black and white photo does.
Right, that shows me where the intended berm is going to go, but I see the portion that would not be covered.
Compare the two, but you can see where it intends to retain the berm.
Mr. Byard, I also read, the letter from Jessica Watson, and I got a little additional information out of that, I believe, in that it appears as though the issue may be that the cost of the engineering and construction that would have to take place is the issue?
No, that's not it, Mr. Johnson. There is no real stormwater solution, as I understand it, to get water away fast enough. In a storm event, it's not a question of whether you couldn't engineer something to move water off the site. The question is what to do with stormwater. That's the issue.
And perhaps, I don't know if this is correct, but it may be that your removal of the earthen berm along the marsh area would, in fact, preserve the marshland better than the construction that would have to take place to create that earthen berm.
Well, I'm glad you said that. I wasn't going to argue for the environment, but the potential erosion of a 6-foot-wide earthen berm into the marsh is not a pretty thing.
I have no further questions, Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton.
Yes, I remember the hearing, and the property shall be fenced, so it would be the berm and the fence?
Yes, sir.
And what type of fence would that be?
I think it was a 6-foot security fence, David, do you recall?
It was a split rail fence.
I thought there was a security fence between you and the mobile home community, but I don't recall.
I believe it was the berm and a fence on top of the berm.
That's a function of site plan review, and we're not there yet.
Okay.
You guys get to bless that.
But it was essentially the fence is going to be on top of the berm.
Yes.
That runs all the way to the...
In addition to the berm, it may be on top of the berm. It may be on the community side of the berm. It may be...
It could really be on either side of it, too. It wouldn't have to be on top of it.
Right.
Okay. There.
I have no further questions.
All right, so Mr. Smith.
No, Mr. Chairman, I believe I understand the application.
Mr. Ross?
No questions.
Okay, then. Mr. Lank?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counsel?
My only comment is, Mr. Barr, next time, don't try to do the tabs yourself. The Snaggle tabs on here were kind of hard to follow.
I apologize. That was not my best work. I'm technologically challenged.
Yeah.
I'm manually challenged. Sorry.
That's all I have.
All right, then. All right, gentlemen, if you take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1926, Nanticoke Shores Associates, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1926? Yes, ma'am. Please come up and give us your name.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Barbara Duff, and I'm an officer and board of director with the Homeowners Association of Rehoboth Shores. When I came here tonight to represent them, which our officers are with us, I did not know where the berm that was being discussed was going to be taken away from, and I thought it might be the circle that was around the homes, but apparently that's not the case. Is that right?
Ma'am, here's a copy if you'd like. Mr. Byard handed up this to us, and the highlighted area is the area that's remaining. So it would be, and I don't have it now in front of me, but the berm area that's between the campground area and the marsh. The berm remains between the mobile home and the... That's where it will be, yes.
Okay, and what about this area here in the city?
No, that's, yeah, that shows a little bit
better. There's going to be no berm there?
On the edge, on the perimeter.
Okay, well, that's where most of the homes are, I believe.
No, it's just the opposite.
Yeah, it's the opposite. Yeah, you can see a little better on this one, because that's the color photograph. The homes are on this side, so this berm here is going to stay. It's just out here where it's not going to be.
The RV park that they're putting in, and the wetlands are in back of my section, which is C section in the back. That's behind us a good ways. But the reason it was voted on, you members all voted against it at the zoning commission, of course, and section 8 states that that's one of the reasons that they approved it, was because it should be surrounded by the 50-foot vegetation buffer and the 6-foot earthen berm and indigenous trees, and also a split rail fence. Well, the fences that they have in now are in very poor shape, and they've been run down for a couple years. This was brought to me today. I didn't have time to get copies. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And the indigenous trees, if you're looking down Long Neck Road, there's about 50% of them that are, some of them are missing, and 50% of them have been dead for over a year. I was told by members up there that that was put up to screen the residents along Long Neck Road from the noise from the cars. And that was what I had been told. I don't understand, I understood the council to say that they would have their own entrance into the park for the RV park and not come through Air Park.
That's not really,
ma'am. That's really not the subject of our hearing
okay,
tonight.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So I can't really answer that.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, then, that's all I have to say. But we were against taking any berm out because campers, and I camped for 12 years with my children. When they get let loose on a Friday night, their quickest way is to the beach, and that would be through all the neighbors' yards down there to get to the beach. But if they're going to keep up a split rail fence and plant trees and repair them.
And I think the berm that you're talking about is still there. It was a drainage issue out completely away from the existing homes. The way I understand it from the letters from the Sussex Conservation District there in the file is that the Sussex Conservation District looked at it and said it becomes an environmental and drainage and runoff issue if the berm remains along the marsh side of this.
Okay.
It needs to be opened up so that the water can flow out to the marsh. But it does not affect the berm that's on the park side of it at all. That's still going to be there with the buffers.
Well, there's
homes
on both sides, and then Bay City sits on the other side, and they were against it too. But if the berm's going to be completely surrounding that circle, okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Being none, we'll close. I'm sorry. Come on up. Didn't see you.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name's James L. Robinson. I live in the neighborhood right there. My question is to the berm and to the fencing area there. What kind of material do you know that's going to be used? Is it going to be used materials? Is it going to be sand, clay? Is it going to be stone, rock, or what?
I believe that the provision is for an earthen berm, which is fairly broad, but it would indicate that it would be something that could be vegetated. It wouldn't be rock or anything like that, but it would have to be something that would support vegetation, topsoil.
Would it be also like a used material, like dredging?
I don't know.
Okay. Is that going to be presented into the...
The final site plan required, as I recall, let me go back and look just to make sure, the landscape plan be included. Because the conditions came from county council, not from planning and zoning, so bear with me a second. Yeah, the final site plans are the subject of the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. So those are the kinds of things that would be on there. And certainly, you know, that might be something that the commission could ask about at the time that that's submitted if it's not depicted on there.
Okay.
I don't believe that they could put any dredge spoils on it because that brings in a whole additional layer of regulatory review to put dredge spoils on a property. So that particular issue would have to go through DENREC.
I'm sorry I wasn't here for the first meeting and all like that. You know, I'm just trying to catch up.
Sure.
Been busy and all like that, but the has there been an environmental impact statement made on the area?
Sir, again, that's not the subject of our public hearing this evening.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, we're talking about this one very limited condition tonight, and that's really what we have to limit our discussion to.
Okay.
Just the berm.
The okay.
I think previously, in the first question, you asked about the type of fencing. I don't think that was answered.
No, the split rail or the chain link fence?
That's what they stated. It said, I think they said split rail. Is that not right?
Yeah. Split rail is what I understood them to say.
So that is, there's no change in that?
Not at this time, no. I mean.
Okay. And I guess my other question was going to be about stormwater management, but we can't go into that.
Well, that's what. Oh, go ahead.
Well, only to the extent that this is that's one of the reasons why they're asking for relief from the berm was that the construction of the berm in its entirety was creating an obstruction to stormwater management, to the flow of stormwater.
Right.
So to the extent that we're addressing that part of the issue.
Right.
What was your stormwater question?
Now my stormwater management thing question was, or do we have qualified the gentleman that gave the testimony on the stormwater and the are they what is their qualifications on that?
Well, I can answer that if I could just briefly. It's not what's driving this is not their qualifications. This already got approval from County Council as an ordinance, and as a result of that, it went through all the agency reviews, and the agency that has jurisdiction over stormwater management, which is the Sussex Conservation District, they're the ones that have said you need to change this condition because it's not workable.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, so the state that's come back and said what has been imposed won't work here because it'll create basically a pond if we ever get a big rain.
Right.
Did you have a chance to see this?
No, sir, I didn't.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you that one. You can take that with you, and I think that will answer a lot of your questions.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay, if there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision. Or you may wish to call the office in the morning.